other big story tonight, we're looking at the Pampore terror attack. We saw 8 CRPF soldiers fatalities in that attack, more than 20 others injured, as even the defense minister is raising serious questions about whether standard operating procedures were in fact followed. This amidst rising concerns that we are looking at a new phase in militancy, one that we had yet to come up with a new counterinsurgency strategy for, and amid reports of an unseemly quarrel breaking out between the army and the paramilitary as to who was responsible for the killing of the two terrorists in that lethal Fidayeen attack. Let's go straight to our panel on the buck stops here tonight as we look at the Pampore post-mortem and ask what lessons we should be learning. General VP Malik, former Chief of Army Staff, is with us. General Atta Hasnain, who has been a commander, an army commander in the Kashmir Valley, is also joining us. And Dilip Trivedi, who's been a former Director General of the CRPF, is with us as well. General Malik, let me start with you. This is a stretch of road where this attack took place, which is actually on the national highway. It connects Srinagar to Jammu. It also travels to the epicenter of militancy currently in the valley of South Kashmir. But the fact of the matter is that this is a stretch of road, and I just spent a week in the valley, as you know, where there are regular road opening parties. I saw those ROPs as I traveled up and down that road. Despite those ROPs, despite those road opening parties, how do we explain that these terrorists were not spotted? This was a place where an encounter had taken place just 2 days before this attack took place.
Firstly, Barkha, you are right that this is the life for the JNK Valley,
yes.
The road coming from Banihal right up to Srinagar and beyond. It's a lifeline, really, both for the civilians as well as the army people who are maintained from along this road. Now, apparently, we have had two incidents within 3 months in Pampore. So something has gone wrong somewhere. My conjecture is that, my intuition is that the SOPs have not been followed. There is either lack of discipline or lack of coordination or both. Otherwise, there is no reason why we should have two such incidents, major incidents, within a period of 2 months. And as you are indicating that there have been fight between the army and the CRPF over who killed those two Fidayeen, now that itself shows that there is a lack of coordination. Otherwise, this particular road, it is segmented,
yes.
And then responsibility and accountability given for each segment. Here something has gone wrong. I think that we need to have a proper inquiry, not by one service, but under the unified command headquarters, and it should be a combined military inquiry, military in the sense both the army as well as the police and other sources who are in intelligence sources who are involved. Only then you will get to know. It is not easy to spot two people or three people or four people, but you require both intelligence as well as alertness on the part of those who are guarding the highway.
Yes.
As well as those who are traveling within the vehicles when they go.
Yes.
I mean, this was a tragic incident where so many lives were lost when they were coming up. I do not know the details and whether they were escorted or not, but they should have been escorted.
Yeah. General Hasnain, you have made a similar point, but you've also talked about the ennui and the monotonous of road opening parties, about how one soldier standing by the side of a road for over 12 hours, even with sniffer dogs and mine detectors, is going to make a mistake. But what I do not understand, because this is a road that I traveled up and down literally every day the past week, I saw an ROP there every day. This is a highway, it's not a remote area, it's not an interior village. How did... Which SOP do you think has failed? For example, we do not yet even know if the proper bulletproof vests were worn by the Jawans or not. The DGCRPF indicating that the current vests available with the paramilitary forces are too heavy. Now, this seems almost farcical if this is how we're sending our men out to die.
Thank you, Barkha. Firstly, let me say that how much I regret the unfortunate loss of these 8 lives. And then I endorse almost every word that General VP Malik has just said. But the specific question that you have asked me, based upon the article of mine which has appeared in the Tribune this morning, Yes, there's no doubt about it that this is a very vulnerable national highway. It's not vulnerable today, it's been vulnerable for the last 25 years. Everyone knows, anyone who knows CI knows that when other operations, when the strength of terrorists particularly has reduced and other operations are going on, the place where the terrorists will always attempt to strike you will be at your vulnerability. And that's what they have done. Pampore has seen an incident in February, you've seen it now. Only this month on the 4th of June, we've had an incident at Beach Bihara. Now, what goes wrong? I will try and outline to you it procedurally. There is no doubt about it that there have been lapses, and we must admit them if we have to honestly learn lessons from it. You see, what happens is that a company of the CRPF normally has about 50 men. A company of the RR has got about 80 men, functional. If you are given a stretch of road of about 4 to 5 kilometers to cover, you will have 2 men standing at every 400 meters. Now, if you mathematically do it and not bother to care about which are the main threat areas, Pampore is a high threat area. It should have buddy pairs of soldiers, policemen standing at every 50 meters, covering the entire stretch and making sure that no static vehicles are permitted. In most cases, you will find that static vehicles have been overlooked. They have come and stood there. They are the vehicles in which the terrorists normally come, the fidayeen come. And if you have not been moving these vehicles out, you will find that at the last minute, when your convoy appears, suddenly the fidayeen will appear and start firing. And you will invariably suffer casualties because the buses are not hardened. Now, in terms of SOPs,
yes.
The army's buses, the standard army buses, are all hardened. Some of them may not be today because over a period of time they may have deteriorated.
Yes.
Also, the time of General Panag, a direction was given that not more than 20 men will sit in a single vehicle, in a single bus. Not more than 10 vehicle people in a troop carrying vehicle. And every single Jawan officer, anyone sitting in a convoy will wear a bulletproof jacket.
But that did not happen, General Hussain.
No, with this.
That did not happen.
It didn't happen in this case.
We had 40, we had more than 20.
Yes.
And they were not wearing bulletproof vests. And the DGCRPF says that that's because we do not have the light bulletproof vests that are needed. Instead, we have the heavy vests. So basically, this means that Jawans are not wearing bulletproof vests at all. This is absolutely shocking.
Barkha. Absolutely, Barkha. Let me tell you, the meaning of a light bulletproof jacket, there is no such thing. That is a flak jacket which caters only for shelling, that is fragments of shells. Most of these bulletproof jackets are the ones which are of the heavier variety, and people will have to be uncomfortable. If they have to be secure, they just have to be comfortable.
Okay.
Second thing is, what I want to recommend very strongly to the Unified Command, if a direction has been given by an army commander level officer and something for the good of one force, I think the entire forces of the valley must look at it positively and adhere to
okay,
it.
Let me bring in Mr. Trivedi.
I can assure you that the army saved many lives. The army saved many lives because of the orders of what General Panag had given.
But I want to get in Dilip Trivedi from the paramilitary perspective. Mr. Trivedi, the fact of the matter is that we've also seen this very unseemly quarrel breakout between the army and the CRPF over credit, you know, at a time when you have your soldiers, you know, martyred in this attack, you have more than 20 injuries, you actually have a trail of official tweets from the Northern Command that then have to be retracted. We see this unseemly sort of quiet, covert sort of squabbling going on between the paramilitary and the army. This is extremely disturbing and speaks to a lack of coordination between the two forces.
Yes, Barkha, it is rather sad to have this kind of exchange between the two forces. But coming to your basic question about the fact that SOP is not being followed, definitely there is something gone wrong with the road opening parties which did not ensure this. But given that fact and the other issue that you talked about is the bulletproof jackets,
yes.
Let me tell you, it is the procurement is a major problem. I think we are acutely short. It's not only question of light and heavy. And when they're talking of light, it is that 5.5 kilos weight and earlier ones which are weighing as much as 15 kilos. Mm. But given all that, it's the procurement which has been a major problem for getting adequate number of vests, let alone light or heavy. So it's one is that. Second is that the fact that we have to somehow look beyond what has happened here in Pampore. After all, where did these terrorists come in from? They came in from the borders. And for all the newspaper reports and the media reports have been indicating that infiltration has been very high this year from the LOC. So it's about time that we started fixing some accountability on the LOC. Because once the terrorist has come in, then he has the domain open to him to attack. And he's the one who chooses the place of attack.
What do you mean by fixing accountability, sir? It's an interesting choice of words. How do we fix accountability? You know, do you mean heads should roll? In which case, should heads roll for this attack as well? If we start rolling, you know, if rolling of heads becomes a routine after every terror attack, do we not give terrorists the advantage? Do we not expose our own vulnerability? Mr. Trivedi?
Barkha, let me tell you, let me come to a very simple question. After all, what is the length of the LOC? It's just about 500 kilometers. So can't the Indian Army just ensure that there is no infiltration from a 500 kilometer stretch? The rest of the borders in India, in any case.
General Hussain to come in and then General Malik. General Hussain, briefly, yes.
Let me just finish. You can keep answering. Okay. I didn't interrupt when you were speaking, so I think you need to let me speak.
Go ahead.
You see the rest of the... Okay, so we have a huge border with Pakistan, we have a huge border with Bangladesh, we have a long border with China, and we have a long border with Nepal, which is all being guarded by the various CAPFs, the Central Armed Police Forces, different ones. Now, it is only a small stretch which is exclusively the prerogative of the army, that is the LOC. And most of the infiltrations are coming in from there. And once these people come in, and then they do choose a place of their attack, it becomes very difficult to contain it. And also at the same point of time, I think we are sending a wrong message internationally, because every time we say that it's a cross-border terrorism, that implies that we should be more serious on the borders rather than in the hinterland.
But hang on, sir, I do have to get reactions. Sir, let me just get reaction. General Hussain, brief interjection from you. I do have to go to General Malik. You actually now have a former DG of the CRPF. Hang on, sir, let me ask my question. The suggestion there from the CRPF former DG is that it's the army that's accountable, that the infiltration is the problem, not how the paramilitary regarded or disregarded SOPs, but the fact that the infiltration took place to begin with. To me, what we are seeing in this argument is actually probably what's going on between the CRPF and the army on the ground, and it's really disturbing. It's a passing of buck between both the military and the paramilitary.
Barkha.
Yes.
I've got your question, Barkha. Yeah. Absolutely, you have to give me a little time on this. But firstly, I think it's most unfortunate.
Yeah.
Most unfortunate that such an issue has been raised on this program tonight.
Not by me.
Let me ask Mr. Trivedi how many times he's been to
not
the line of control.
Not raised by me, sir. Not raised by me.
Not by you, Barkha.
Yes.
Not by you, Barkha. I'm asking Mr. Trivedi, how many times has he visited the line of control? I'd like to ask him. Secondly, 750
should I answer that?
The length of the line of control. I will not. No, I don't want you to answer. Let me answer now.
No, of course I'll answer.
You can answer it later on.
No, I've been in the border security force in Jammu Kashmir and I've visited that area a number of times.
Okay, then it seems that you have no tactical sense, sir. Because you should know that zero infiltration is never possible. Let me answer, sir. 5,000 were the strength of terrorists in the valley in the late 90s. In the early part of the millennium, the strength of terrorists was 3,500. When General Wich took the decision to construct the line of control fence, since 2004, 1st of July, till today, the 28th of June, the strength from 3,500 terrorists has come down to 140 to 180 terrorists. Please go and speak to the multi-agency center. Ask them every year what has been the strength of terrorists killed and how many have infiltrated.
Right from
2007 onwards, the mathematics of terror have completely changed.
General Hussain,
we have always been saying zero infiltration is not possible.
General Hussain, you are talking
about Bangladesh border. You are talking about Punjab border.
I do understand.
Is there any infiltration
even being
attempted
there? I understand
that you're
angry, but let me just get General Malik.
It is not being attempted there at all.
Okay. I'll give you a chance to rebut Mr. Trivedi, but I just want to get General Malik in. General Malik, to me, this argument manifests the lack of agreement. I won't even call it a lack of coordination. We actually probably have the army and the paramilitary looking to blame each other. And that, to me, exposes the real chinks in our armor. You have a former DG saying the army is accountable for infiltration. You have the army saying, look, it's the CRPF that didn't follow the SOPs. But you do also have the very genuine problem of the paramilitary being sent out as cannon fodder. It is shocking that a former DG has to talk about our procurement delays that do not allow our men to wear bulletproof vests. But it is also disturbing that we can't, that we're actually squabbling about who's accountable. And you have now the CRPF saying, why aren't you able to contain infiltration, General Malik?
You know, Bakha, is most disappointing, the mindset that has been exposed by Mr. Trivedi. I'm quite surprised. That shows the attitude. And you are absolutely right that if these are the kind of disagreements at the highest level of the forces, what can we expect at the lower level? It's a shocking statement that has been made passing the buck to each other. Secondly, I want to ask, what about the homegrown terrorists? There are a large number of terrorists who have probably got weapons,
yeah,
and they have not crossed the... have we been able to stop them?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's face it, it is a common, it's a joint responsibility. Everybody has got his own role, and they have to work in a coordinated fashion. Apparently, the unified headquarter has not been able to prevail that kind of atmosphere in amongst the forces. And I think that this point needs to be taken very, very seriously.
Okay, now I just...
Now, as far as bulletproof jackets are concerned...
Yeah, so complete your point. General
as
Malik,
far as bulletproof jackets are concerned...
Yeah.
I mean, it is... Yeah, I'm saying that these are, of course... I think the Ministry of Home Affairs has to look into this. I mean, I can't expect that a very senior officer today saying that we have not been able to get, if they haven't got enough bulletproof jackets, then it's their job. But they're not wearing those jackets because they're heavy is not acceptable, because that is a breach of discipline.
I agree. But I do want to give Mr. Trivedi a chance to just come in with two very angry army officers. Mr. Trivedi, I think it's a reasonable point. If you look at the data, for the first time in 10 years, local militants in the Kashmir Valley are actually outnumbering foreign terrorists. This is a figure from the Jammu and Kashmir police. I just spent a week in Kashmir. The real crisis right now is not the Lashkar-e-Taiba. It's a revival of the Hizbul Mujahideen. It speaks to the need for other policies, including political engagement. So when you transfer the entire responsibility on infiltration, you are actually overlooking the changing nature of militancy in the valley. A quick word, and then I'll give General Hasnain the last word, Mr. Trivedi.
Barkha, let me tell you one thing. Apart from being DG CRPF, I have worked in the BSF for 7 years and in Jammu as IG Jammu. Mm. And I have seen the border, and five of my battalions were on the line of control also on the LC with this thing. So it's not that I'm speaking only as DG CRPF. I'm speaking with my experience there. And the fact is that before 2004, even the Jammu border was vulnerable and there was no fence. And the BSF, as when I was IG there, we got the fence constructed and we started. And thereafter, the infiltration from Jammu has virtually become zero. So that is the kind of thing. I mean, these are the myths that we have to dispel. If today we have to do some kind of a rethink on how to stop the militancy. And yes, your homegrown terrorists, they are a problem, but they are a bigger problem only because they are getting all the supplies and their monies and everything from across the border. So if we are able to effectively seize the border,
so
control
the border,
problem,
point.
We'll be able to...
Okay, but sir, the LSC terrain
because it's a very important point as far as JNK is concerned.
You don't need me to tell you that the LSC terrain is totally different from the international border, but I do have to close. General Hasnain, a quick last 20 seconds.
Madam,
please.
I have been on the LSC.
Sir, I'm not questioning your experience. It's nothing compared to mine as a reporter. I'm simply saying that infiltration to me does not seem the biggest reason for why PAMPOR happened. But I do take your point. I defer to it. General Hasnain, please wrap this up for us. I've got to close.
Quickly, Barkha, I don't want to leave this discussion on a negative note at all. I still feel that there have been mistakes somewhere, and all we should do is admit our mistakes. This is a very tactical thing. Don't look at this incident only in isolation. Overall, the situation in the valley has not deteriorated. I want to tell you that. It has not deteriorated. Overall, it is totally under control. A one-off incident in which we have come out negative must not be looked at that angle. Lastly, this unfortunate tweeting business from Northern Command. It is the new Twitter account which has been opened up by Northern Command. Unfortunately, it needs to be under control. Someone has made a mistake. Okay. If they made a mistake, they need to retract on it. They've already retracted, in fact, and actually go back and get and overcome this issue on a one-to-one basis at the ground level with the CRPF. You cannot afford to have the two lead agencies, lead agencies in the valley not seeing eye to eye.
I will not be there. I will
we need
there
this for our national interest.
And I will say that this argument on this program, I certainly hope this is not the argument taking place between the Northern Army commander, the 15 Corps commander and the CRPF officers on the ground. Because if this absence of agreement is there, it really does make us vulnerable in a way that we cannot afford to be leaving it there. General Malik, General Hasnain and Mr. Trivedi, former DG of the CRPF.